this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
No, you don't. Hallelujah. Let's get to what God has taught me to do this morning. God has laid on my heart to talk a bit about, more than talk, read, out of Psalm 23 this morning. So this morning, there's not going to be a lot of my input into the sermon, which is awesome, you know, because I'm a sinner, okay? So you really don't want too much from my side. But whatever comes out of the Word of God is God, and it brings life, right? Hallelujah. So we're going to spend some time this morning in Scripture. If you have your Bible with me, that'll be awesome, so you don't have to, like, really, my neck gets sore if I have to look at that thing too much. So read with me on your tablets or your Bible, whatever form you have, and I want us to read a bit about it in Psalm 23. So let's start by just reading the whole piece. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It's one of the Psalms of David, okay? Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think that is probably one of the scriptures, this and John 3:16 and Luke 11:11, some of those scriptures we know, which all of us know, you know, whether we really know Jesus or not, we know them. Because this, it just sounds awesome. God wants us to lie down like next to a river bank type of thing, just be with Him. And it sounds romantic, but it is romantic. It's full of love. It's full of compassion. It's full just with God. And He's all of the above. And this morning, I want us to, piece by piece, just go through Psalm 23. If you've done a thesis or whatever on this portion of Scripture, I'm very sorry. I hope you will learn something new. But, just kidding, hallelujah. But I want us just to read through it. And we're going to take it piece by piece, and God has just led me to some other scriptures that links in with the pieces we will take out of it. Because what God has laid on my heart to do this morning is He said, let everyone understand Psalm 23. Because what I just found on my heart, why do we need to know Psalm 23? Is God just showed me that there are some of us in this very building right now, and we are struggling with fear. And I believe it wasn't by chance, it really manifested in worship this morning. I, in a sense, struggled just to connect with God, because I was just like, God, what is... I just felt like a blanket of us because of... And that's why the word from Damien and Janine, thanks, guys, for the word, is confirming this. It's just saying that we, in a sense, are holding ourselves back from the fullness of God because we choose to focus on whatever, or the stuff, our guilt, our shame, our incompetence, our sin, all these things from the past, or our uncertainties. And it is really not okay to do that. And God has just laid on my heart to work through Psalm 23. And it was just amazing for me to work through it as well. Because God wants to set us free. He wants us free from that shame, from fear. And He wants us to understand and see His heart towards us. Because why did God send Jesus to die on the cross for us? Not to make a great story, but because He loves us. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. That's John 3:16, the other one I talked about, by the way. So let's work through this and talk through this. And it was so actually, wasn't fun in the moment, but just in preparation for the sermon, during this week, my mother's visiting me. She's a gorgeous lady in the front. She's visiting because I'm getting married on Thursday. Boom. That's amazing. So I'm sleeping on the couch, right? So I'm sleeping there, and through the noises of all the everything around me, from the fridge and all of that, I woke up at I can't remember which day it was. I woke up on the dot at 12 a.m. and I just woke up filled with such fear. Okay, so I was just sleeping and really dreaming all this intense demonic stuff. Like, it was really just a demonic attack. So I woke up. Let me just take a step back. So in this dream, all this crazy stuff happening. There's a reason I'm sharing this. You just see later. So I woke up. In this dream, all these demonic attacks and God using people really close to my heart and whatever. So in this moment, in the dream, I remember there was this moment for me just like, listen, this is just really stupid. I'm going to wake up now. So, whoop, I woke up. Boom, saw the demon. He left. I woke up really sore wrist because I think he was like pushing me down or whatever. But I woke up with such an intense, overwhelming fear over me. And I can really say, through the grace of God, I'm not really afraid of anything, right? Only try to fear God. But I woke up with this fear. So you wake up, your wrists are sore, you see this demon escaping out of your house. And now I'm like, yes, Lord, like, why is this fear so intensely over me? So I jumped up, just looked out to the garden, just making sure everything is gone. Then I went to the kitchen, grabbed some oil. My mother was joking last night. She said, yeah, she sees the oil on the wall. So I just anointed the place, anointed my bed thing that I'm sleeping on. And then I slept like a baby. Just after spending time in prayer, just saying, yes, Lord, what's the reason for this? Why do I dream this? How can this demon come and attack me? Like, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? So through this exercise, you know what? God allowed it to happen, just by the way. Wasn't like the devil having more authority. So God allowed this to happen. Why, you might say? Why would God do that? Okay, God did that for me to experience that fear. Because I've never really been afraid of demons. Like, they can just go in the name of Jesus, right? That's all you need to know about them. So I woke up with this fear. And after spending some time with God, and this morning, he said, like, listen, I let that happen so that I want you to experience that fear. And I was like, yes, Lord, why would you want that? Because God said, because your church, Shofar Pretoria, there are people in it filled with this fear every single day. And then God just made me feel the way he feels. And it's like, I was like, God, does people feel like this every day? That must suck so much. And I'm really saying this with like all seriousness. Like, it is a really sucky feeling. It is intense. It's not good, not from God. And God wants us to be set free from that. If I had to feel like that, like I did that evening for half an hour, I would have just gone into the fetus position and cried, because it is so overwhelming. So if you are here this morning and you experience that fear in your life today, hallelujah, you're in the right place, because God wants to set you free. So to go on, I will come back to that. Let's start looking at Psalm 23, because I don't want to talk too much. The Lord is my shepherd, right? Scripture I want to just link up with that is Isaiah 40, verse 11. And you can read with me. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead those who are with young. Anyone with some small children in this place, that's amazing. God will gently lead those. God wants to take us in his, that's the right way to say, his bosom, like a mother does of a child. God wants to take us in. He wants to gently lead us. He wants to take us with intimacy, with gentleness. He's our shepherd. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep. I will seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Okay, clouds and darkness, there God is speaking about the day when he's coming again. It's really going to be crazy. But we've been scattered, and in our spirits, some of us have been just scattered from the bosom of God. God is a good shepherd. He's seeking us out. He's like, it doesn't matter behind which rock you are hiding or lying in the fetus position. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm looking. I will never relent. I will never stop until you're back right here. He will never forget us. He will take us from the devastation of the world and put us into His arms and carry us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Scripture says that those who fear the Lord, they won't lack anything. I shall not want. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. So God has called us for a life to not wanting anything because we are so satisfied in Him, by Him, through Him. He makes me lie down in green pastures. John 10:9. I am the door. This is Jesus speaking. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He makes me lie down in green pastures. God wants us to lie down inside of Him. He wants us to lie down with Him. Green pastures is talking about Jesus. He is the way to our Father. He is the way to peace, to rest, to fearlessness. So God calls us to come be with me. You will start to see it, just an awesome life through all of this. God is saying, come to my bosom. And I was, come to the posture, which is, it's me as well. Everything's about God wanting us to be with Him. He leads me beside still waters. The waters meaning it's waters to rest. It's not waters to drink. It's waters to come and rest by. I come from George, down in the Cape, for those who don't know it. The only way that I could really just shut down my head and find rest, so I'd take my surfboard, just paddle out. Not really, because I would be dead by the time I get where I want to be. And I would just go and lie on my board. Like, not worry about a thing. And just look at the sky and just find rest on the waters. And that's really one of the only places where I could find rest. So I so relate with this. God wants to call us to that place to find rest. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Psalm 31 verse 3. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. Psalm 143 verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. God wants us to, even though He allows certain things to happen in our lives to test our hearts. His heart is for us to walk by on level ground. He wants to level our obstacles in front of us. Because through Him, all things are possible. Thus, through Him, nothing really is an obstacle. So God calls us to just proclaim level ground to the things in front of us, the challenges, especially those things that we are like, God, I'm just faced with an impossible challenge thing in my life. God levels that if we just choose to bow and to abide in Him. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, death also means deep darkness, I will fear no evil. Who's ever been through the valley of the shadow of death? Okay. That's awesome. Some of us. And the reason why I say it is awesome is not to make a joke of it. Sometimes we believe that, yes, God, why am I in this wilderness situation? Why can't I hear your voice? That is just so the devil speaking to you. God is closest to us in the wilderness. God is especially closest to us when we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Where is the valley of the shadow of death? It is absolutely all around us. This world is a deep darkness. Things we see, especially the things we don't even see. We live in a crazy place. I can't wait to leave this place and go home. But God has called us to walk free and in abundance to overcome this place, this world, so that we can just change other people's lives. So with that, I will fear no evil. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't know if you've ever read this scripture before. I believe most of us have, but I don't know if all of us believe this scripture. I want us to read it again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Have you ever been afraid of something? Yes. Have you ever feared people or circumstances? Yes. Why? Why do we fear? Why are we afraid? You can't say, oh, because I'm a little girl, because of my personality, or because of this incompetence, or whatever weakness you might have. But if you've given and surrendered your life to Christ, if He's your light and your salvation, whom shall I fear? Psalm 27, from verse 3. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Not only does God want us to be free of fear and to be afraid of stuff, He wants us to step it up a bit and say, be confident in it. God wants us this morning to take authority into our lives and say, no longer will I fear or be afraid of this. And then settle there. But I will be confident over this. Jesus said, it is finished. So we just need to walk in that freedom and that power. So we must be confident in those things that we feel are holding us back. When we were worshiping just a bit earlier, and you were like, yes, Lord, actually, like, joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah, Lord, you're... No, no. God knows our hearts. And what we proclaim with our lips, our heart should follow, and we should be confident in the things we say. So we sing, Lord, you are my everything. God sets us free from fear. And I don't want to say too much, but God gave me a glimpse of what this fear feels like, and He doesn't want any of us to feel that way. We should not dare to be okay with it. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I always say, we see what's going on around the world. Really sad. Our brothers, our sisters, the church, being persecuted. And it hasn't started now. It's just been going on for ages. Hundreds and thousands of Christians just being martyred and killed and raped because they love Jesus. So if you see what the world does, the world thinks that the worst thing they can do to us as Christians is to kill us. But with all respect, I find that a bit funny, because I believe the best thing that can happen to a Christian is to die. Because we go home, right? You guys understand what I'm saying? So what can man do to us? Oh, they can kill me. Hallelujah. They can torture me. They can persecute me. Hallelujah even more, because blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. You know that there's a special place in God's kingdom for those who have been martyred for Him? So in every response to what the world wants to do to us, in every response we should be like, hallelujah. I'm going home. Hallelujah. I'm receiving a bigger reward than those who haven't been martyred for their faith. It doesn't make it less for us if we, you guys understand what I'm saying. But what everything that the world is wanting to throw at us. Hallelujah. What can man do to me if we have eternity in mind? Absolutely nothing. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, because God is with us. Micah 7, verse 14, shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, who dwell alone in a forest in the midst of a garden land. Let them graze in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. God is He's a good shepherd. He leads us with His rod, with His staff. Sheep hears His voice. The sheep listens to His voice. So the rod and the staff comforts us. God's discipline, God's guidance, God's commitment towards us comforts us, because He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will come and look for us behind every rock. He will follow us so that we can come back to where He's busy with. No matter how much sin, no matter how much times you've been afraid, no matter how much you've turned your back towards God or just even blasphemed against Him, you know what? Those things are not okay. But it doesn't stop God from pursuing you. It doesn't stop God from looking for you. You know what? He will find you. And every time, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit for a moment like this morning, God comes and He knocks on our heart's doors again. It's like, listen, Chris, is there a Chris here this morning? Listen, Chris. I know exactly who you are and what you've done. I've forgotten about it already. Just come. Just come follow me. Take my hand. More than that, God will put us on His shoulders. He will carry His sheep back to the rest. If we've been hurt, if we are weak, God will carry us. When we are at rest, we must desire to see others find rest too. Because more than God wanting to come and find us and set us free, you know what? We do not live for ourselves, just by the way. We are part of a bigger body of which we are all members of it. So we do not live for ourselves. I do not live for myself. You do not live for yourself. You're not supposed to live for yourself. You need to always think of God. What about, is there Sunny? What about Sunny next to me? What about Sunny living next to me? God wants us to love ourselves in the same way we love our neighbors. You know, we know the Bible says that love your neighbors as you love yourself. I wonder if we just turn around. Let's love ourselves the way we love our neighbors. I think sometimes if we just turn that around and start looking at it differently, I could spend as much time with yourself or love yourself the way that you love the person next to you. Do you even know the person's name living next to you? You're like, hey, God doesn't really talk about your neighbors. Yes, He does. He talks about the people amongst us, next to us, colleagues, friends, where we live, where we function. God calls us to really love them. Because God does come and find us. He does come and set us free. He does remove the fear from our lives, not just to sit and be happy about it, to help the person next to us be free of it as well. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. John 6:51, I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Psalm 31:19, oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you. Lie in the green pastures in the sight of the children of mankind. God wants us to partake in His body. What does that mean? Partake in the cross. Partake in what He's done. That means to be set free. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Psalm 16, verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. So with us, God gives Himself in overflowing, in abundance. God has set us apart for His work. Through His guidance and support, He makes Himself available to us in abundance. Surely, goodness and mercy. You can change that word surely to only goodness and mercy. Mercy also meaning steadfast love. Only goodness and steadfast love shall follow me in the days of my life, and I shall dwell or shall return to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some of us need to return to dwell this morning with God. We've done it perhaps before. We've been scattered. God is right here. He's found you. God knows you're here. He wants you to return to dwell with Him. So only goodness and only steadfast love will follow you. Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Psalm 21, 4. He asked life of you. You gave it to Him. Length of days forever and ever. Is there anything, we are done like reading through Psalm 23. Is there anything in that that you would not want for yourself? Like anything. I want you to raise your hand and let us talk about it. Do not be afraid. We want what God promises us. And what is it? He promises Himself in abundance to us, saying He will never let go, He will never forget, He will never leave us. He's a good shepherd. We are His sheep. So He has prepared green pastures. Sheep love it, by the way, green pastures. Be there to eat and to be merry. But then from there, after we've been reconciled with God, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So after we've been reconciled with God, found our healing, found our food in Him, to eat His flesh, on Him, the green pasture, after He searched for us, the good shepherd for the sheep, so that we will live, have mercy, have goodness, have no fear, so that we can go from there and proclaim the gospel with confidence, with boldness. So not just in ourselves, but in our children, in our parents, in our family. Family is a tough nut to crack. We are so afraid to minister to our families. Or is it just me? God has the ability to give you the confidence and the boldness to do that. So this morning, God wants to come and set us free from our bondages, which we have chosen to carry on our lives. Because God has already set us free from it. We need to choose to be free. We need to choose to live in it. And God said, but Lord, I really, even if I confess this with my mouth, God, Lord, what does it look like? You need to make the decision to take authority over your life with Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to come back to the dream I had. So then now I woke up full of fear, not really knowing what is going on, wrist hurting, throwing oil everywhere. But just in that moment, I just realized that what happened there is the first moment I woke up, okay, so the demon left immediately. What's the second thing I did? And just praise God, just through stuff He's taught me, it comes as a second nature. I just immediately started taking authority. So I was just like, even still rebuking the demon, even though he's gone already. Taking authority over the place that I sleep, the house that I live in. And then just giving thanks to God, and then the fear left immediately. So God has given all of you the ability to be free of fear, okay? To be free of bondage, to be free of whatever it is holding you back as you sit here this morning. But you need to decide to get up out of bed. Like you need to wake up first. Hopefully we're all awake by now. Wake up first. Because just by doing that, like the devil leaves because God is with us, right? So he leaves. So then you're like, okay, I feel really full of fear right now. I'm not going to go back to sleep. Don't walk out of this place and just not taking authority. Say, okay, I am full of fear, or I know I'm known to be full of fear. Take authority right now. Say, no longer do I settle for this anymore. Because God has anointed your heads. He's given you cups of overflow.
power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.